From the mid-1990s onwards, as Metzger's ideas began to spread, the number of hate crimes committed by self-styled leaderless right-wing extremists rose. In 1998, the FBI launched Operation Lone Wolf against a small group of white supremacists on the US West Coast. A year later, Alex Curtis, a young, influential right-wing extremist and protege of Metzger, told his hundreds of followers in an email that lone wolves who are smart and commit to action in a cold-mannered way can accomplish virtually any task before them. We are already too far along to try to educate the white masses, and we cannot worry about their reaction to lone wolf small cell strikes. The same year, the New York Times published a long article on the new threat, headlined, "New Face of Terror Crimes, Lone Wolf Weaned on Hate." This seems to have been the moment when the idea of terrorist lone wolves began to migrate from right-wing extremist circles and the law enforcement officials monitoring them to the mainstream. In court on charges of hate crimes in 2000, Curtis was described by prosecutors as an advocate of lone wolf terrorism. When, more than a decade later, the term finally became a part of the everyday vocabulary of millions of people, it was in a dramatically different context. After 9/11, lone wolf terrorism suddenly seemed like a distraction from more serious threats. The 19 men who carried out the attacks were jihadis who had been hand-picked, trained, equipped and funded by Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a small group of close associates. Although 9/11 was far from a typical terrorist attack, it quickly came to dominate thinking about the threat from Islamic militants. Security services built up organograms of terrorist groups. Analysts focused on individual terrorists only insofar as they were connected to bigger entities. Personal relations, particularly friendships based on shared ambitions and battlefield experiences, as well as tribal or familial links, were mistaken for institutional ones, formally connecting individuals to organizations and placing them under a chain of command. This approach suited the institutions and individuals tasked with carrying out the war on terror. For prosecutors who were working with outdated legislation, proving membership of a terrorist group was often the only way to secure convictions of individuals planning violence.